Hey there. Ever wonder what happens to all those amazing screenplays that never make it to the big screen? Wonder no more. Welcome to Table Read Podcast, where we bring those undiscovered gems to life. Picture this, talented actors giving incredible performances with the occasional laugh or blooper thrown in, produced by award-winning pros. From drama to comedy, TV pilots to feature films, there's something for everyone. And guess what? We release new episodes every week, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Table Read Podcast, where great stories finally get their chance to shine.
Podcast Unlocked, episode 15. I'm Ryan Clements, and I'm joined by Peter Eichemans.
Hello.
Hello, Stephanie Lee.
Hello.
And long-awaited return, Arthur Geese.
These people must have lead really boring lives.
How's it going, buddy?
Number 15.
Number 15.
It's almost old enough to marry in some states.
Starting off
too
on
far,
the right
man.
Foot. How's it going, dude?
This is my first time on a podcast with Arthur. This is really exciting for me.
Oh, cool.
It's going not great from a game-playing perspective lately.
But in general, life is better because now you're not on death's door.
Right. I don't have the immunological apocalypse happening. So
excellent.
That's good.
Excellent. And several of our readers have missed you. They miss the realism in the otherwise idealist society that I lead here in this podcast room.
Too much positivity. You can't love everything.
I like how dismissively specific you were. Several listeners have actually said they missed you.
I don't,
everyone else was totally.
Hey, I don't remember, bro. That's just how it goes. I can't remember all the emails that we get. We get so much fan mail at unlocked@ign.com.
So
that's
you're
right.
Like a UFC personal trainer?
you can email us there. And what about personal trainer?
He didn't even remember the joke he just made.
I know.
It's come full circle.
I missed it.
You said you don't have good short-term memory, and then I asked if you were like a UFC personal trainer.
Oh,
yeah. Making me explain the joke to everyone.
Yeah, well, we can talk about that later because UFC personal trainer is going to be a topic of discussion on today's show, as well as Shadows of the Damned. We're going to talk about Transformers Dark of the Moon. Dark of the Moon.
You were about to try the Transformers voice, and you backed off it at the last second.
Nope. I wanted to do the Bark at the Moon riff, except put Dark of the Moon instead. And also, Stephanie played some Call of Duty yesterday, and I saw her play some of it, and it was great. That particular section was awesome, but I don't have to talk about that.
You caught me at my least glorious moments, I would say.
Were you playing against Bobby Amos?
No.
Oh, yeah, anybody that plays against Bobby Amos isn't playing at all. They're just screaming at their TV.
I just remember leave my controller at that point.
Yeah, I was capturing at one point. The video team had just set up the monitor like in their own area outside of the capture bays, and I was capturing Call of Duty, and apparently Bobby was just sitting down there like shaking his head. So he finally like came up. He's like, can I play a few rounds? I was like, all right. Please, go ahead.
That's awesome.
I'm just embarrassed.
I think, I mean, every time I ever pick up a game from the very beginning, I'm a bit of a slow learner when it comes to, I don't know, I guess if it was an exceptionally complex game, then it usually takes me a couple rounds to get into it. After that, then I'm the best person on the planet playing games.
It's true.
That's
your Stardust scores tremendously high.
Tremendously high, but not in comparison. Some of our some of the Beyond listeners, goodness gracious me, do they have high scores.
I can hear the rage in our audience building that we're talking about Super Stardust and not Geometry Wars.
Oh, this isn't the first time I've brought up Stardust.
Like last two or three weeks, really.
Yeah.
This is what happens. I leave and we start talking about PSN games.
Yeah, well, when there's nothing to talk about. Podcast Unlocked is a 360 podcast, though, and luckily most of the stuff we're going to talk about today is on the 360.
Did you play, Geometry Wars and Geometry Wars Retro Evolved?
Yeah, we discussed the music briefly.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'll have to go on my leaderboards now that we're friends on Xbox Live and see if I'm crushing you.
Crushing!
That was one of the games where I made it a point to systematically go through and destroy every one of my friends' list scores as much as I could.
Just to feel good about yourself?
Let me add you. Sounds like a good relationship.
Not to feel good about myself so much as to make them feel worse about themselves.
And Arthur's back, ladies and gentlemen.
Arthur's single, everyone. In case you want to get into a self-destructive relationship.
He's like the black hole that sucks all the rainbows and happiness out of the room.
I can't actually confirm or deny that because inevitably whenever I start dating somebody or go on a date with someone and they Google search me, my name comes up in this shit.
Yep.
So yeah, it's good point.
oh, I'll listen to that. And first they're like, man, he's way less cool than he seemed like when we talked before.
That's okay. I think you're cool.
I think so, too.
Yeah. I think
I agree.
I think several listeners also think that you're cool as well.
As far as I'm aware, you're not going to take my pants off at some point in the future, so I'm less concerned about that.
What?
Right now.
Okay. Well, you obviously don't know what my plan for the future is. Let us move on to what do you want to talk about? I totally forgot to say this. Oh, it was such a perfect. I'm going to say it right now. Stephanie, I'm about to reintroduce you. Are you ready?
Oh, goodness.
We're also joined by Stephanie Supersonic Fly Mega Sosomosaurus Lee. Megasaurus Awesome. There it is.
Megasaurus
this
Awesome.
This is the nickname from? Stephanie requested before we recorded. She was like, can't you like think of a cool nickname for me? Like Supersonic Fly Megasaurus Awesome. So there's that. Now you
I think
have...
Arthur is very impressed with it.
It's much easier to remember than Stephanie Lee.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I already forgot what your real name is, basically.
So, Arthur, what do you want to talk about first? Do you want to talk about Shadows of the Damned or Transformers of those two games?
This is a do you want the good news first or the bad news first kind of situation.
Okay. Oh. What do you guys think? What should we do?
Bad news.
Bad news first?
Pull off the
Transformers.
No, I like
we're not
good...
talking Stealth Force Edition.
I like
Stealth
the good Force. News with
Stealth Force.
No,
we're not talking the Transformers.
Stealth Force Edition.
Which is actually more fun to say than that game is to play.
And that is why I like the bad news first.
Transformers Dark of the Moon is no Transformers War for Cybertron, sir. It's not great. It's okay, which is the score I gave it. I gave it an okay out of 10.
Did you?
I did.
Six. It was a 6?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, got it. I was thinking of Shadows of the Damned.
The Shadows of the Damned was
a
great 0.5, or a good 0.5.
Good 0.5.
Oh, it was a 7.5?
Yeah.
Oh, whoa, I thought he gave it a 7.
No, it's a good 0.5.
Okay, sounds good. So tell us what the difference is between Transformers, Dark of the Moon, and War for Cybertron.
So there are some little changes. Like in the last one, you could take way more punishment in your robot form, and basically you just did more damage in robot form, and vehicle form was just to get around.
Right.
And in this, they've sort of flipped that around. In vehicle form, you can take way more damage, and you never run out of ammo or have to reload in vehicle form. So... basically, I mean, in vehicle form, I say with quotation marks, because if you basically transform into Stealth Force mode, where you basically burst apart and guns come out of the cracks in your vehicle surface. If you see the Transformers movie, I'm pretty sure this is in there, which is why they had to cram it in,
right,
along with all those guns. But once you turn into that, there's not really much point in like having legs anymore, because... you strafe around like a hovercraft. You're way more maneuverable generally. You have way more offensive options. And you take more damage.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense to me.
You can't melee attack.
Are there any situations where you can't actually traverse from one point to another without transforming into robot mode? Like to jump or something like that?
No, because you can actually jump in Stealth Force mode.
Okay.
See, but with this argument, you're pitching the Wii version where you can't actually turn into a robot.
Right. Right, so.
But maybe an idealistic version of
so
that.
So they're
one.
Taking it a step further. Yeah. In the Wii version, you can't turn into a robot. You're just stuck in Stealth Force and car mode all the time. I have to be really careful when I say Stealth Force. I'm going to say Stealth Force.
Easily. It's really easy.
That really confuses. So there's no transform button in the Wii version?
Oh, there is. You go from car to car
Stealth
with
Force?
Guns poking out of it.
Okay, got it. But you don't go to robot.
No.
I don't understand how Transformers can be stealthy.
I don't understand how a car with a bunch of guns hanging out of it is stealthy.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sure that we'll have people write into unlocked@IGN.com, but I'm sure people will tell me why that when the Decepticons in the second movie could look like humans, why it was necessary to still look like cars.
There's only one that could do that, right?
Is there only one?
I think so.
Okay. Yeah, because it was funny, because someone on IGN was like commenting, like, you know, for the people that don't know the lore behind Transformers, it can be confusing as to why there's this girl walking around that's a fucking robot. And I was like, yeah, I want to know that too. I'm confused.
I think there was a specific Transformer line, actually, where they looked like humanoids.
Okay, got it.
Not that matters, but...
super hot ones with scorpion tails. Because that's what was in that movie,
I don't
right?
remember those. Yeah, not so much. So those are the like the sort of slight weirdnesses of the game. The other part of Dark of the Moon, the thing that makes Dark of the Moon not very good, is the level design is really bad.
How so?
You'll spend a lot of time doing the same thing over and over again, and not in the standard video game way, but in the you're locked in this area for a long time, and we're just going to send wave after wave of enemies after you, which is the sort of...
Is that not how War for Cybertron? I mean, I thought that there was a lot of enclosed spaces.
If you play Dark of the Moon and then go back to War for Cybertron, it's night and day how much more you're traversing. Like, the world you actually go across and the levels you go through in War for Cybertron are pretty big.
Yeah, they were huge.
The levels in Dark of the Moon are pretty small.
Okay.
And it just reeks of the kind of situation where they're like, well, we need them not to go through this tiny level super fast, so let's just keep them here for a while and make them fight things over and over again. But we can't actually have so many things on screen that they can clear the area and then leave. So they have to clear the area, then clear the area,
okay,
ad infinitum.
And that's made even more painful because the combat isn't particularly rewarding.
The combat's, it's on easy, it's too easy. On normal, it's actually really unforgiving.
Oh, okay. That sounds balanced.
The default difficulty is easy too, which I guess sort of makes sense because it's not just a licensed game, it's a movie game, and so that's a different audience than War for Cybertron.
Okay.
The levels are just really boring, and all of them boil down to doing, like, going in the same area over and over again or backtracking in the same areas over and over again.
Got it. Okay, fair enough.
Not very good.
So,
and the performance is awful. Like, the frame rate just takes
it. I thought we were talking about vocal performances for a second.
It's got Peter Cullen doing Optimus. I don't know what else you want from a Transformer.
Sorry. what about...
Jazz is not in Transformers Dark of the Moon that I'm aware of, but...
What about a little bit of Shadows of the Damned? Suda 51 game and Mikami joining forces, right? No?
Sort of. So that's the way this game was sold. That's not really the way this game was made.
Okay, let's hear it.
Suda and Mikami-san, or Shinji Mikami, whatever you want to say. I always feel weird when I say San.
San.
Okay,
no problem. But you can say Mikami-san.
Yeah.
I feel
that's just
weird
like Mr. Mikami.
The Japanese honorary because I am a white dude.
Well, it's just like
I'm possibly
someone,
the whitest dude.
It's like someone in Japan coming over here and calling someone Mr. Geese, you know? Not someone, specifically you, calling you Mr. Geese.
True.
Just to like follow your...
So anyway, Shinji Mikami and Suda 51 were in advisory roles more than actual production roles. So they were just sort of every now and again signing off or like working on the initial concept and throwing it to a bunch of underpaid dudes and saying, all right, we'll make this.
And who is the actual director then?
I don't remember his name, but it's like...
So it's not one of them?
No, it's not one of them.
Okay, interesting. So technically they were completely in an advisorial.
I mean, which isn't to say
adversarial.
Adversarial.
They were fighting.
That it doesn't bear some resemblance to some Mikami stuff, because it definitely, like, the aiming in the shooting feels a lot like Resident Evil 4, and I don't say that in a good way.
Okay.
Because Resident Evil 4 came out 6 years ago. Move on.
Yeah.
Seriously, because we've done way better shit with third-person shooters since then. And that's not to say Resident Evil 4 wasn't awesome.
Like Vanquish.
I didn't like Vanquish.
I know, that's a whole other conversation. I just bring it up specifically because I know you don't like it.
And that's another one where I feel like the aiming is sluggish. But anyway. And it's just generally clunky. The animation is weird and the camera is not great.
Okay. But you still said it was good.
Yeah. I did.
So this doesn't sound good so far.
So the thing that I liked about Shadows of the Damned was and this is typical Suda bullshit, like the aesthetics and what it was doing with its themes and its characters more than actually playing it.
Because it
very much seems like a love letter to the kind of horror movies and like exploitation films that were popular in the 70s and 80s and like found a new niche on VHS in the late 80s. And that was definitely like my shit back then. I think the line I might have used in the review is that it just reminds me of all the movies that I would watch that my parents didn't want me to, or the movies I wish I could watch but my parents wouldn't let me.
Okay.
Like, it's that kind of stuff. It's like sharing that moment with Suda.
Cool.
Like, and talking to him a few months ago, like, talking to him about movies, it definitely seemed like that was the case.
Yeah.
So,
because you brought up a specific reference that he was surprised you knew, right?
Tetsuo the Iron Man is the movie I mentioned to him. If you haven't seen Tetsuo the Iron Man and you have a weak stomach, I recommend you avoid it.
Yes. I remember watching a trailer, a clip, and it's pretty brutal stuff.
Pretty intense. So I mean, I like that stuff. Playing it was kind of tedious as often as not. And there are like a couple instant fail sequences that are really annoying and some parts.
Sounds like Vanquish.
Some really bad checkpointing, some boss battles that take way too long, and if you die, you have to do the entire thing over again.
Sounds like you just need to get better at games.
Definitely.
Simple solution.
It's true. I'm not good at games.
Good thing you work here.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, but with that said, at a 7.5, would you say that for someone that could get down with that, with those themes, with those aesthetics, would you recommend maybe a rental or something?
I mean,
or?
I think those are the only people that should look into it. Okay. Those are the people that just follow Suda 51, like,
to the grave.
At a Grateful Dead concert. I just, like, there are people that follow his work almost religiously, and they're going to buy it no matter what.
Okay.
And the people that are into the horror stuff, then yeah, I think it's worth checking out. I just, it's not a great shooter by any stretch of the imagination.
Okay. Is it a good survival horror?
No.
No.
Is it a good...
It's not hard. It's pretty easy, actually.
Is it a good method in which to facilitate dick jokes?
Yeah, it is a nonstop dick joke.
All right, that's what I've heard.
Delivery method.
Yeah. I don't really have many dick jokes left in me after playing and then reviewing that game. It was
Ryan
just dick joke
sold.
After dick joke after
sold.
Dick joke.
Let me put down my money on a pre-order. Well, no, wait, this came out like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Regardless, I would still like to check it out. That's definitely on my to try out list, as well as I would like to try out Transformers, even though those sound like some bad problems.
Don't.
But it looked so pretty in the trailers.
It did, but the frame rate sucks, and the level design is not very good. The multiplayer is the only thing that really redeems it.
Does the frame rate suck on, like, all platforms?
Yes, the frame rate sucks. On PS3.
Forgive me for not asking this before. Why does the multiplayer make it stand out? Why?
Just the transformation thing is enough to make the multiplayer stand out. Like,
no, but I'm saying...
Oh, I wanted the vehicle. He took the vehicle. Oh, wait, I turn into a jet.
Yeah, well, that's awesome, except if everybody's just riding around in stealth force mode because it's the best version.
You have to go into robot mode to use your abilities.
Oh, okay.
So there's that.
Okay, that makes sense.
And whether that's...
Wait, is that the case in single player also?
Yeah, but you pretty much never need to use those abilities.
Okay, but you do need to use them in multiplayer?
Yep.
Okay, got it.
So, and I mean, I had some fun moments in multiplayer, like playing as one of the recon characters, which are like cars. They're smaller than everybody else. They're cars. They're weaker, but they're super fast. So rocketing over like a hill toward someone who's playing a Soundwave, who's a bigger character, turning into a robot, doing like this crazy melee spin thing and changing back into a car and blasting him to hell and then zooming away before Megatron could kill me. Like, moments like that make multiplayer awesome.
Cool.
Or yeah, watching Megatron and Optimus, like, go at it off in the distance while you're chasing Starscream. Like, shit like that is what people have always wanted in Transformers. It's just not as good as War for Cybertron.
Got it.
But there's nobody playing War for Cybertron anymore.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. Cool. Why don't we move on to Miss Stephanie Lee and her evaluation...
My blops.
The blops.
Blannihilation.
So what
Zombie
happened?
Monkeys?
So, yeah, something came out recently.
Yeah, it was a little something called Annihilation by Blops.
By Blops. Can you explain what Blops is?
Call of Duty, the best-selling game of all time. 1 in 8 households owns this game. And
right.
Activision and Treyarch are very well aware of this fact, and so they're milking the crap out of it by releasing yet another map pack.
There have been a lot of map packs for Black Ops.
Exactly.
Yeah, and the last one came out like 2 months ago, like in May or something.
I think
like
it was
that.
May. Yeah. So like 6 weeks it felt like.
But
that was the George Romero one.
Yeah.
Yeah. But basically.
And this one is just the you'll buy it because you want Black Ops.
Yep.
One.
Yeah. This
More
is not,
zombies.
This is not going to convert Call of Duty haters and like make them drop their.
Nothing
money.
Is going to convert Call of Duty haters.
I like how my. What was it? My impressions piece kind of devolved into a Battlefield 3 versus Call of
you
Duty.
You could send fellatio or cunnilingus care packages to every hater of Call of Duty, and it would not change their minds.
Yeah, but I mean, like, if you haven't been playing Call of Duty,
that was good.
Yeah, it rolls off the tongue.
All right. Let's hear what Stephanie has to say.
Yeah, Arthur.
We can only say fellatio so much
no,
on this show.
I like the way cunnilingus care package rolls off the tongue.
Go ahead, Stephanie.
But I was saying, if you are not a Call of Duty fan, you will not care about this, most likely. But if you are, I do recommend picking up this map pack because it's actually far superior to the last one and the previous one.
Really? How? Like, talk about the maps then.
And they're
like, going to
throw that shit in a matchmaking in like 2 weeks.
What?
Yeah.
So...
The what?
You're gonna have to have
you're
it
gonna
to
have
find
to
matches.
It.
Yeah.
But like last map pack Zoo was really cool. I thought like the design.
I didn't play too much of the last one except for the zombie
okay, yeah,
or
yeah.
The Call of the Dead. Oh, sorry, but so the new maps. There's four new maps. There's and they're very sniper friendly.
Ugh.
One of my favorite ones was actually one called Hazard, which is a long golf course. And that middle part, which is a golf course, becomes a no man's land because there's so many perches that snipers could like camp on and pretty much snipe you if you ever wander into that no man's land. So all the action kind of like gets pushed onto the outskirts of that map.
Cool.
And so there's a lot of crap going on. It's pretty fun.
Now my question: why are they fighting on a golf course?
I don't know.
Zombies, bro. Right? Zombies aren't actually in that
different
map.
Different. Yeah.
How much is that? Sorry, I forgot to ask you how much the map pack is.
$15.
$15.
You're basically paying like $120 for the entire experience.
Are there four map packs out now, total?
Or I think this is the fourth one.
I think this is the third one.
Third, yeah. Yeah, there was First Strike.
There you go, $45 worth of maps.
Oh my goodness.
I don't know how I came up with $120 then.
Fuck.
It's close enough. So
my math is not
that
good.
Elite bullshit's looking pretty good now, isn't it?
let's see. What else is there?
Oh, and then there's a new zombie map, which is actually pretty cool. It's set in an exotic kind of jungle, and it's definitely a refreshing change from like the dark, dreary environments of like a mansion and a snow-capped peak.
What kind of crazy world do we live in where a mansion is a dark and dreary environment?
It was very dark and dreary.
I'm not saying it's not, but it's just like, man,
it's full of zombies.
That
too.
Fucking awesome big house is so lame.
What
Disneyland did it.
What's Haunted the mansion. Actual objective in the zombie, like on that map? Are you just defending?
You're not
like,
defending
surviving?
Anything. You're just surviving.
Surviving with other people, right?
As long as possible.
And the strange part was I couldn't find anyone to play with on yesterday online.
Oh, really?
And, but I did actually. I'm gonna need you guys' help here to reenact the conversation I heard while playing on Hazard.
We're so ready.
So okay. I need some machine gun sounds here. Boom! Headshot! Biatch! I killed you dead, bro.
Wait, this is how you were talking to
no,
other people?
This is what I heard.
I can see you doing this.
Mic.
Okay.
Man.
But apparently I was playing with some frat boys on that map in that particular session, so it was kind
of
cool.
I feel like, much to your credit, that was a little unconvincing of an impression of a frat boy.
It was.
Like, boom. Oh.
I'm sorry.
No.
Perhaps you will make a better frat boy.
No, I absolutely wouldn't. I am quite the opposite. But would you say that you enjoyed it overall? Good experience? Thumbs up?
Yeah.
Thumbs
$15 experience?
What?
$15 experience?
Mm. It's the $15 tax you have to pay to keep playing Black
Ops
Online.
Yeah, if you
want
to keep playing it, you're going to have to pay it eventually. And if, like I said, if you already enjoy Call of Duty, then
you probably
that's
have
pretty
it.
Cool.
Can you not even connect and with other people?
No, you can, but but it won't put you into any matches using the DLC that you don't own.
So it's essentially limiting your pool of people you can play with. Okay. That's unfortunate.
But
that's how it rolls.
I love
Call
when
of Duty.
I talked to Robert Bowling like last February or something for the first Modern Warfare 2 map pack. And this was before the Infinity Ward shit went down. But he's like, yeah, we're going to put it out. We're not going to throw it into the main hopper yet. We're going to wait quite a while until it seems like the audience is really ready for this to be thrown into main matchmaking. Because we don't want to leave anybody out. And like a week later, it was like in the main matchmaking queue.
Left behind.
That really frustrates me when you pay a lot of money for a game and then they're sort of like, okay, now you got to pay this money too if you want to keep playing your game that you love. But everyone will pay it because they want to keep playing.
Because they can get away with it.
Yeah. All right.
Not everybody will keep playing. The player base on that game it's not like there are 13 million people playing Black Ops right now.
No, but the retention's still really high.
Yep. Is it?
Yeah, I would say so.
But I doubt that 1 in 8 number is going to go up any higher, at this point.
Yeah, probably not.
Have they reached Call of Duty saturation?
I think for this cycle.
I guess we'll find out.
Yeah.
Well, but it's consistently in the top, five, most or top-selling games of the month.
I'm sure the new one will be, too.
The Xbox 360 version of Black Ops is regularly in the NPD top 10.
Mm-hmm.
No. Jeez.
Madness. What do you guys think? Do you want to answer some questions?
Nope.
Okay. Well, see you later, bro. Why don't we do some questions then? You can email us and join the conversation on locked@ign.com. Email us there. Please keep them short. A lot of people have asked, what is a short question? Oh, it's very simple. If it's a few sentences that I could read within the span of a couple seconds, that's a quick question. Basically, the length of time it just took me to explain it.
Basically, now, if it were an essay test and your teacher would be disappointed in how short your answer was, it's perfect for us.
If on an essay test you wrote the length of your question and she wrote "see me" next to it,
that's what we want.
Yes, exactly.
Underachieve for us.
So let's start off with a message from Gary. Gary writes, "Hello, locksmiths. I recently went out and bought a shatload of MS points. Wondering what arcade games or DLC should I get. I'm looking at all these games and I am lost. Help me out, please. Love the podcast. Keep up the good work. P.S. Banana hammock."
That all depends on exactly how much a shatload is.
Love it.
Banamic.
Exactly Banamic. How much is a shatload of MS points.
Okay, yeah.
And B, what games do you already have?
It seems like...
Number one recommendation. I'm sorry. I'm going to interrupt.
No,
please
do.
Outland.
Number one?
Yes, that's my number one recommendation.
Cool.
Outland?
Well, number one?
Number
one. Okay, that I can think of at this moment, Arthur.
Also,
I have no Xbox Live games, and give me a recommendation, and Outland is that recommendation?
Yeah,
why not, man?
Dude, it's
Xbox
awesome.
If it's a good game, it's a good game.
It's kind of hard. It's a 2D platformer.
Some of the best games of this generation have been on the Xbox Live Arcade.
That's true.
Like what?
Limbo.
Fucking Geometry Wars.
Exactly, that's what I was going to say. Go there first.
Geometry Wars.
It's awesome.
Get
go play
Limbo.
Stardust. And then come.
Limbo's great.
And you'll play a real twin stick shooter.
Super Meat Boy.
If you like anger, Trials HD.
Yeah.
If you like Metroid, you can play Shadow Complex.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, very
that's
good game.
Good.
If you like.
Can get into Shadow Complex.
If you like. That's okay. I never played past like an hour of it.
It's not for gameplay reasons that I couldn't get into Shadow Complex. I just have serious issues with the Orson Scott card.
Is it also because Nathan Drake was the main character?
No, you know, like if I had to avoid Nathan Drake in every game I played, I would play not a lot of games.
Yeah, good point.
I'm trying to think. What about DLC? See, the problem
Stacking.
Is that yeah. How am I? Well,
oh,
no
DLC.
Like, actually, this is a weird question because Gary asked what kind of DLC you should buy. I don't know what games you own, bro.
Yeah.
So buy the DLC of the games that you own.
Company 2 Vietnam.
Yeah.
Is awesome.
The Red
DLC.
Dead Undead DLC.
Oh, yeah, that
is
one's
really
pretty good.
That's really good if you have Red Dead. Yes,
yeah.
Absolutely.
The GTA 4 packs are awesome.
Belle de Gay Tony.
Man, you're just leaving me limp with these.
You're not a fan of any of this?
No, actually, I tried to like Red Dead.
Yeah.
Like, I spent 9 hours trying to like Red Dead.
That's
I got
quite,
to Mexico.
Like,
that's a fair
yeah,
amount.
That's
yeah.
a good. You definitely
I mean,
give it your
I,
all.
I got to Mexico after like the first mission in Mexico. I was just like, I don't really want to do that.
I like apathetic Arthur. That was a good impression.
What were you saying? Because I've been trying to, in all the spare time I don't have, finally get through BioShock 2. You were saying Minerva's Den.
Yeah, there's
is
no
awesome.
Reason. Okay, so there's that. Minerva's Den is the only reason to play BioShock 2. In my opinion, I don't think that the main game is very good. It's very derivative. It doesn't feel like it's treading any new ground very well. But Minerva's Den is one of the best experiences I've had with any game in the last 2 years.
Wow, that's saying a lot.
Very nice.
Yeah.
And I
it
think
has
we're...
a hell of a punch to the ending. Like just it's like a punch you in the gut emotional ending.
That's so unusual for DLC in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
I would also like to point out, if we didn't already say it, Pac-Man Championship Edition DX. If you, that's definitely probably worth.
So how many points did he get?
Try to beat my score.
A shatload.
Okay. That's all Gary gave us.
You can try to beat my score on the first level of the first board of Pac-Man Championship Edition.
Which is
1.98 something or other million.
Is that good?
That's in the top 300, I think.
Wow. Okay.
For a while, I was 97, but. Then I had a life and had to stop playing. And then, like, the top, there's at least like 40 or 50 scores in the top 100 or the top 200 that are people that just hacked the leaderboards.
Really?
Because Namco can't be pissed to fix it.
No.
Really?
Like, you click on their replays and it's just like the default, like, new game sort of demo reel or whatever.
That sucks.
But it's still an amazing
and
game.
And all the scores are just the exact same for the first 40 or something?
No, they're just like completely impossible scores.
Oh, okay.
Like 52 million.
Really? People
like
would hack the hype leaderboards?
People hack everything. Every
so they
leaderboard
could
they can.
Be on leaderboards?
Yep.
That's interesting.
If you get, speaking of hacks, go on YouTube and search for The Crying PC Gamer by Freddie W., the Freddie W. channel. It's really funny.
What is
that's
that?
All I'll say. Like Freddie W. and his crew do the really awesome special effects YouTube videos where they just like record their own little action scenes, but they're like
know
3D wizards.
Yeah.
So they look like really convincing. And they did a spoof of that old commercial where the Native American is like walking through and the garbage like makes him cry like a single tear. But it's about,
you know, like that thing in Wayne's World.
It's about PC gaming and how everybody hacks, and it's like ruining the experience.
It's true.
It's cool, dude. We'll clean it up.
So
I feel so old.
Yeah, I don't get that reference. So.
I still go there. Wayne's World. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
I just want to go into my room and have a bowl of red vines that I can pull red vines down from.
Have that CD player on the dash. Like
right.
Have the portable
thing that I pull down and have like the little thing that clips it off.
Yep.
So I can get as long a red vine as I want.
Is that in the movie?
In Wayne's World. Oh, yeah. In their car after they get their big paycheck.
That's like, the first
they
thing he buys.
A red vine or Twizzler dispenser. On the
movie. That's kind of awesome.
Does it ever happen to you guys where you're like watching a movie and then you see someone eat something delicious or just something really like just not even delicious looking, just say like a bowl of Fruit Loops, and then all of a sudden you crave Fruit Loops and you want to go out and get a bowl of Fruit Loops.
I think that's.
I did that with How I Met Your Mother.
That's the best story you've ever told. I love it. And little known fact, did that with How You Met Your Mother.
I can't remember the last time I watched a movie where I can think of people seriously eating.
And
I watched two movies yesterday.
The funny thing is that they're one of my favorite scenes in movies in general of almost any film are diner conversations. Like for some reason, I love the feeling of like you're at a diner, and especially if it's like a really fucking serious conversation or there's like aliens about to invade, but they're like at a diner anyway. Like that's my favorite.
My
also,
pancakes.
Then I just crave diner food. Like every time the lady comes over and she's like, "You guys want some apple pie for dessert?" I'm like, "Fuck yes, I would love some apple pie for dessert." So yes,
I'm with you there.
There's that.
Justin Timberlake is working for MySpace now.
Really?
He's determining their creative direction.
Are you serious? Did a press release just go out or something?
Joking, yes.
Did they just watch The Social Network and get really confused? They
no,
saw him in it. They're like, "We need get me that guy."
Every article about it, I'm sure, will reference The Social Network.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah, absolutely.
We have plenty of questions, so let's keep rolling. We'll go to one from William from the UK. William writes, "Hey guys and gals, with recent release dates for the big games such as Arkham Asylum, I think he means Arkham City. Battlefield 3, Elder Scrolls, and Modern Warfare 3 all around the pre-holiday season. I just wondered which one you think you'll still be playing after Christmas this year. Sorry, after the holidays this
Tough
year.
Call.
Keep up the quality casting. With regards, William." What do we think? What's going to be dominating our time post-holidays?
FIFA 12.
Really? Is that what
I'm
you're
the only
be
one
rocking?
In this office that would say that. But in honesty, probably Skyrim.
Yeah.
Skyrim.
But you are excited about FIFA 12.
Oh, absolutely. It's
oh,
so
very
good.
Nice. Are you a fan of the football?
I am a fan of the football.
Yes.
But also specifically of this new one coming out because the new collision engine is awesome.
Oh,
I love how that doesn't mean anything to me. I'm like, oh, cool. So things collide.
Which determines how
things smash
into each other.
If two people run into each other, it like it
and they
acts
shatter?
Realistically. Basically. Yes. Like you're gonna break legs in this game.
It's just shards of player on the ground.
Yeah.
Somebody just goes by and sweeps it up.
I don't know, maybe Gears, although Gears comes out in
September already,
so 3 months might be enough time to burn me out on Gears. Saints Row the Third.
Oh my god.
That'll be fun.
Looks so good.
After you show me that fucking trailer, man. When does that actually launch?
November, supposedly.
Yay!
November's busy.
Saints Row the Third.
Prey 2 actually looks like it might be kind of cool in a lot of time.
Star Wars bounty hunting. That's the only thing I got out of that trailer that I watched.
Man, it's Blade Runner meets Farscape.
Cool.
That is good.
Sounds good to me. Because I don't know, honestly, for some reason Farscape. Sorry, I thought we were talking about Far Cry for a second.
Nope.
No.
Okay, never mind.
No, definitely not.
Cool.
Cool. Maybe Battlefield.
All right.
I don't think I'll be playing much Modern Warfare 3 online.
Superfly, Megasaurus, awesome.
Oh man, there's too many games.
I don't remember that.
I didn't. I think it's
actually Supersonic Fly.
Supersonic Fly.
The answer is it is that he didn't.
Go ahead.
Superfly, Saurus, awesome for short.
There's too many games. I'm most likely gonna just still be chipping away
really?
At my backlog. So
the backlog.
Everything
never ends.
Is the answer.
Oh, one other thing is that not Bungie, but 343 are. Putting out an update for Halo Reach, I think this week, to lay the groundwork to make some really serious changes to matchmaking and like game types in the fall for the Halo Anniversary Collection.
Okay.
It sounds like they're trying to set in place to reintroduce Halo 1 rules for Halo multiplayer. if you have anniversary or if you buy the maps for anniversary.
Cool.
Can you, since I haven't played Halo 1 in a billion years, can you remind me what that means?
I mean, things like not taking fall damage.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Things like the pistol being way overpowered. no armor abilities, like no elites.
Yeah. Okay.
Stuff like that.
That would be cool. It's always good to have classic,
changes vehicles,
classic modes.
Like, vehicles would probably be indestructible, I'd imagine. Like they were in Halo.
Yeah, if they're really going
totally
all
unbalanced.
Out. Yeah,
but amazing.
But still fun.
Makes so many people happy though.
Sidewinder with tanks. That was a lot of fun.
Oh man,
that's why you hook
pistol.
Up like four Xboxes together and play like 16 on. Was it eight versus eight?
No.
Yeah, that was like the max, right?
Yeah. And then in Halo 2, they're like, now you can all. It can be like fucking 8 2-man teams, or 4 4-man teams, or 3 2-man teams and one. Wait, that doesn't work. But crazy teams, yo.
That was on the back of the box.
Yeah.
Crazy teams, yo.
Yeah. Yes. I like that you two said it together, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
You two said it
we
together.
Had a count off one.
So anyway,
two,
that was leading
three.
Into maybe Halo Anniversary a lot.
Yeah.
Cool. We have another question from Edgardo, who has written into us
Edgardo.
Before.
Edgardo.
This is Edgardo, and I had a
Not
question.
Not even Eduardo?
It says Edgardo, and I'm pretty sure I've made note of his name before, so I'm going to go with Edgardo. When an enthusiastic developer with an abysmal game asks you what you think of their game, what do you usually say? Are you frank or do you lie through your teeth? Has your response changed at all since you first started demoing games? Thank you for your time. This is from Edgardo. What do we think? We'll start with... Well, you're pretty new to our scene, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, well, I meant the IGN scene because you were doing video game writing beforehand.
Yeah.
But what do you think?
I mean, I kind of make a point of not... like giving my view of it directly good or bad.
Okay.
So it's mainly like a either way sort of thing. So
okay.
Both leave them guessing and so I can kind of chew on it a little more.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think it's good to never rush to a decision because
exactly.
That'll come back and bite you.
Even though I don't know.
I think most of the developers I've worked with in the past have been very much welcomed an honest opinion about it. And especially if it's phrased, courteously. I usually have had no problem telling someone if I have concerns about something.
Yeah.
I also have no problem saying that I really enjoyed the experience too. I mean, you're just telling the truth. If they ask you a question, then they should expect an honest answer.
But what if it was the worst experience?
Well, then I would very politely tell them that I think that there are a lot of issues that need to be addressed.
He's not joking. It would be very polite.
Yes, it would be very polite.
If that were to happen,
I'd actually probably just kneel like down and
Ryan
bow
Clements
my head.
Ryan Clements is the nicest man in America.
That's not true. There's nicer out there. There are nicer.
And the most humble.
But exactly. I'm pretty sure. Like I'm a
the modestest man in America.
I'd like to consider myself a nice person, but I'm not, nobody's perfect, and I'm sure there are nicer people out there.
I really wish you would have said Pobody's nerfect.
Pobody's nerfect. Stephanie, you haven't really done have you done any demos?
Nope.
Okay. One day that will change.
Sadness.
And Arthur, do you have to weigh in on this? Or
I mean, I try to be honest. I'm without being a dick, just like in a review. When you say something, you try to say it without being a dick. Unless you're me reviewing Transformers Dark of the Moon Star Force Edition. In which case, Damon edits out the really mean shit. including the greatest strap line that I've ever come up with.
Oh, the
Look, don't say it here. I don't even want to deal with that.
There's no profanity in it.
Yeah, you're right, but okay. I mean, if you want, this does not reflect the opinions of podcast on
the nicest man alive.
It was gonna say abortion meets the eye.
Oh man,
yeah.
It is it's a brutal thing to say.
So with developers, I usually try to be honest while being respectful, or at least taking into account that there's still time.
Yeah.
Usually, unless they're showing it to me like really close, in which case it just depends. Usually I'll just say, well, thanks for showing it to me, guys, and I won't tell them what I think. And if it's that close, they won't ask either.
Yeah.
Cool. Sounds good. Let's do a question from Maria. Maria writes, hey, guys, love the show. After being a lifelong Sony fangirl, I finally got an Xbox today. I got it, but I have no games to play right now aside from the live exclusives like Limbo and Shadow Complex.
That's enough to keep you busy for a while.
Exactly.
Yeah, good games to
start. But... I was wondering, what are some of the retail Xbox exclusive hidden gems you guys would recommend?
Crackdown.
Thanks and keep up the great work.
I love Crackdown.
Maria also has a very wonderful postscript for me, but I'm not going to read it because it's
It's personal.
Oh, it's scandalous. Let's just say that.
Is it really?
No, it's not scandalous at all. It's written with a smiley face. She's just asking to have my children. So. There you go.
Smiley face means it's legit.
But we
it's legally binding. That's legally binding.
How do Ryan Clemences reproduce?
Well, we're asexual, so
very politely.
Lots of apologies for the awkward moments.
They start shaking and then splits into two people. And now you've had my babies, Maria.
Thanks, Arthur. Well, we did just talk about downloadables a few moments ago, but I wouldn't have classified an exclusive as a hidden gem because, generally speaking, exclusives are pretty well known.
Pretty well.
I don't know. I'd say stuff like Viva Pinata and Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts are pretty hidden given how little they sold.
Okay. Yeah. Well, in which case...
Hidden in the bargain bin.
And we recommend those.
Yeah, I mean, most of those ones you can get really cheap. Crackdown 2. Alan Wake was really good.
Crackdown also.
Crackdown also, yeah, exactly.
Not Crackdown 2.
Steer clear of Crackdown 2. But yeah, Alan Wake, I'd say, for exclusives. I enjoyed that.
Actually, Alan Wake is sort of not quite in the mainstream, so I'd say that's a good
one.
If you enjoy Alan Wake,
also has really good DLC.
Yeah. If you enjoy the survival horror, Maria, I would recommend checking out Alan Wake.
If you do buy Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts, you should also buy one of the little keypad things, the keyboard things for your controller. Because naming your vehicle blueprints using the
obnoxious stick
and on-screen keyboard
I hate doing
is an exercise
that entering
in
codes.
Hysteria.
Yes.
I never enter codes.
Really?
On Xbox. Yeah, I just go to Xbox.com and copy and paste them.
Yeah, the easiest way to do it.
Oh, wow.
It used to be that it was the standard Microsoft 5 text fields thing, and like if you were using anything but Internet Explorer, you'd have to individually copy each section. Now it's just like a long bar, and it takes dashes or no dashes. It cares not for your dashes.
Excellent.
I was going to say, if she gets Nuts and Bolts, for the love of God, have an HDTV, because otherwise your eyes will hate you.
Because of the text?
Yeah.
They
never fixed that, right? They said they were going to patch it, but they never did.
So, you know, if you're living in the 20th century, maybe not the game for you.
Well, thank you for the question, Maria, and thank you for the postscript. It made me smile. I will move on now.
You smiled so much you split into two.
I split into two.
Politely.
Politely split into two. I love it.
I'm so sorry for you guys having to watch that. It must have been strange for you.
Then they bounce off in opposite directions.
Let's take a little bit break from questions with a quick side note.
Story.
From Jason. This is not official story time.
Oh.
By the way, for everyone that wrote in saying that they enjoyed official story time, thank you very much. There will be more story times later, but it'll be a special case.
If you tell me a story, I might fall asleep.
Would you like to fall asleep and dream of me?
I wanted to
terrible nightmare.
This one caught my eye because it was just, I don't know, I really enjoyed it. This message is from Jason. Jason is responding to our gross sandwiches comment I think we made during story time. Jason writes, let's see. I accidentally cut this question off. But basically, he did the peanut butter and mayonnaise sandwich.
Oh,
I've always hated jelly, but when I was a kid, I guess I just figured peanut butter had to go with something. In college, I would make peanut butter, ham, and cheddar cheese. With salty ham, sweet peanut butter, and savory cheese, it was a wonderful flavor combo.
That sounds better than mayo.
Yeah. The best part is at the end here where Jason writes, I recently made one, and my 5-year-old tasted it. He claimed to love it and asked me to pack one in his lunchbox the next day. He sadly told me when he came home that he ate it, but didn't actually like it.
Thank you, Jason.
I have a sandwich horror story.
I'm ready for it.
So down the street from the IGN office, there's this little deli that does sandwiches to order, and they have the world's most ridiculous little order forms that are made out.
Oh, yes.
Are you talking about Hennessy?
Yes. I wasn't going to tell people where we were, but then I realized that we put our address out there all the time. So, yes, it's this place called Hennessy's.
Yes.
Which has the best cookies I've ever had, by the way.
Ever
Those are amazing,
had?
Yeah.
Yes.
Ever had?
Ever had.
They're giant.
Oh, my God.
They're really
enormous,
good.
And they're...
It's like a stick of butter.
Yeah.
with like, chocolate chips in it.
So good. It's so
Would
good.
Would you like a cookie?
It's a little melty.
Fucking stick of butter.
I recommend the white chocolate chip macadamia nut cookies.
Oh, you're making me hungry again.
They are amazing.
It was good. Yeah.
So anyway, they have really, really bad little order slips that are laid out really terribly, and inevitably, one out of every six times you go there, you'll probably accidentally order something you didn't mean to. So I put in an order slip thinking I was getting salami and prosciutto, and, you know, with, like, the stuff you have on an Italian sandwich, so, like, vinegar and, like, pepperoncinis and whatever. I put it in, and I wait for my sandwich, and it takes forever for it to be made. I'm like, all it's just got meat on it. What the fuck is taking so long? And it finally comes out, and it's really weird, and it's kind of squishy and cold at the bottom. And I think, huh, I screw up my sandwich sometimes, so maybe I should look at this. And then I open it, and it's got, like, the prosciutto and the salami, and then it's, like, this massive layer of egg salad underneath
it. What?
So there was no bread.
On a baguette.
Oh.
Oh, geez. That
sounds tasty.
Yeah.
Odd combo.
And that is, I was so sad. I don't think I've ever been so sad opening a sandwich before.
Oh, no. Dude, it's so easy to get sad over food. Oh. If you, like, I will never forget that. This will be the last. This will be mini story time. When I'm in college, and I thought it was so great of an idea to go buy those old Velveeta, like, macaroni and cheese.
Those are delicious.
Ew, I love those. You be quiet, you. They're delicious.
With the really thick.
Yeah, the thick cheese.
Do you also spray, like, Cheese Whiz directly into your mouth?
No. I'm not an animal. But anyway, I was cooking this and went to – it was the only sink that I was actually – I think I was at my girlfriend's dorm, actually. And so I went to go strain it, and the only sink they obviously had is the sink in their bathroom. So for some reason, I immediately think, like, that sink is contaminated, so I can't let anything touch it because that's the sink in the bathroom, you know?
Yeah.
Even though people are just, like, brushing their teeth in there.
You're
or whatever.
Such a princess.
I know. So I'm straining it, and, like, I slip with the strainer, and all the macaroni just pours into the sink, and I'm just sitting there, like, defeated.
You're
completely
devastated.
Defeated. Because I'm like, I was so hungry, and there are all these shells, and I think my girlfriend was like, it's fine. You can still eat those. And I was like, absolutely not.
Yeah, that's gross.
These are going in the trash.
I'm in the same boat.
I didn't want any pubes and cheese.
Pubes and cheese.
So that's kind of how I felt looking at this egg salad.
What do you do with that thing? Jeez.
I actually walked over to the guy looking like someone had shot my dog. I'm like, I think I messed up my order.
Like, boo-boo lip sort of thing. Like.
And they made me another sandwich
that's
to their
nice.
Credit.
Because okay.
I think that it was the owner. It was the owner that looked at it. And I think the owner probably thought, no one would eat this fucking sandwich.
Yeah.
How did no one catch this? How did no one catch the egg salad and prosciutto and salami sandwich order? How did no one stop this madness, or at least be sure? Like, when you get the nuclear, like, launch codes, you ask before you launch.
Right.
Yeah, you gotta
or you at least
that.
Have that other guy turn the
you
key with
dump,
you.
You don't just dump the egg salad in the launch tube fire.
Oh, now, man. On a note of things that do go well with peanut butter.
Yes. Fluffer Nutter?
My mother visited this weekend, and we happened to find a store that sells Dutch things, like all kinds of Indonesian spices, and chocolates, and candies.
Sorry, I just wanted to be like, and then when you walked in with it, like, oh, Eichmann's, hello.
We found this pretty much. We found the store that sells Dutch things along with all the places we colonized and conquered.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
There's spices and foods, too.
That's why I saw your tweet this weekend. I'm like, Indonesian? Your mom is like fucking Indonesian.
Yeah, exactly.
Your last name is Eichmann's.
Nope. This goes back to imperialism. But anyway, so they have this tradition where...
Like Resident Evil 5.
Yeah, exactly. On sandwiches, they'll put chocolate sprinkles, like specially made for sandwiches. And so you like spread out a nice peanut butter and hit it with chocolate sprinkles, and that's a sandwich.
Oh my God.
It's delicious.
That's dessert.
That is kind of dessert-y.
Like
call it what you will.
Is it like chocolate
I call
Nutella?
It delicious.
Man.
This is
sorry. It peanut looks, butter and Nutella.
It looks
candy
like,
sandwich.
Exactly. It's very along those lines.
Oh boy,
candy sandwich.
It's exactly what it is.
By the way, Cinnabon, greatest dessert of all time.
That's a sugar and fat bomb.
Yeah. Well, that's why I one time I ate one and almost died.
Your heart stopped for a few moments.
Let's move on to an actual video game discussion again. Drew wrote in and says, I am so sick of collectibles in-game. I have to get as many achievements as I can, and in every game I play, I find that... in almost every time there's a collect all items achievement. This achievement needs to go. Anyways, my question is, what would be your perfect achievement? It can be for an existing game or a game you make up. Achievements.
Any game where beating it on the hardest difficulty gives you the achievement for every difficulty below it is a good step, in
yes.
my opinion.
Yeah.
That is strongly recommended. Mm-hmm. That seems just natural.
But it's not. Like, so many games miss it. Like, one of my favorite 360 games, which is not to say one of the best 360 games, but one of my favorites is Hitman Blood Money.
Yeah.
And beating that on one difficulty does not unlock every difficulty.
That's annoying.
Thing. And that's a punch in the balls, because that game is really hard.
All right.
I don't know, I'm trying to think of, like, achievements I feel really proud of having gotten.
Call of Duty 2 on Veteran.
Yeah?
Have you played Call of Duty 2 on Veteran?
No.
That was before it was completely idiotic to play a Call of Duty game on Veteran.
The only one I think I finished on Veteran was Modern Warfare, the original, which wasn't that much.
Did you do Mile High Club?
Yes. I got a perfect score. Or I have like 1,000 out of 1,000
on
that.
Oh, God. How do you do that? I like couldn't even beat that game on normal difficulty.
There's that one level
annoying.
That's like broken where you're by the Ferris wheel waiting for the helicopter.
Yes.
You have to get in like there's this one spot where nobody can shoot you. It's like
I remember that level. I also remember just dying all the time. I memorized all those quotes that they show you.
Yeah.
Like when it's like you're dead because you're bad at games. Because
you hate America.
Shakespeare. And you know, like I'm like, damn it.
The worst level in Modern Warfare on Veteran is definitely the farmhouse where there are the dudes coming up over the ridge.
Yeah.
And the thing is I always seem to find the one spot in a Call of Duty game where it never expects that you're going to go. So it doesn't actually disable like the spawn closets. So I'm like, oh man, I finally got up. Son of a bitch, they're still coming. They're coming from more directions now. Oh man.
Yeah, all right. So
yeah, that was a whore.
Seems like we all want achievements that make sense.
Yeah, I mean
the collectibles. It is an achievement to find every collectible in the game. That sounds more also, like your psychological.
Just to let you know, Drew, no one is making you get every achievement in every game.
That's just
true.
Obsessive compulsion. I've done it too.
Yeah,
Hidden Orbs and Crackdown.
Yeah,
the best achievement I have is the 0 hour achievement.
Yeah, for when you actually went to a place.
Yeah, for
in real life.
Yeah, for going
IRL.
To the
yeah,
I have an achievement that not a lot of people have, like under 5,000. If that.
Let's see. Why don't we now start bouncing around to? I'm gonna do these questions and I'll address them to you, fine folk.
Oh.
Start. We'll go down the line. Arthur, this question's for you then. Do you think this is from Ken? Do you think Gearbox will use the Duke Nukem IP to make another Duke Nukem game similar to Duke Nukem Forever? Will they make a parody game out of it? I.e., will we see a Duke Nukem Legacy where Duke is all old and busted and not cool, but comes out of retirement to kill some aliens?
I think it'll depend entirely on how many of you idiots buy Duke Nukem Forever.
Arthur does not actually think the listeners are idiots.
If you buy Duke Nukem Forever, I have a low opinion of your gaming intelligence. I'm sorry.
What if they just aren't aware that the game is bad, though? Maybe they buy it because they recognize the name. They don't realize that they didn't read the IGN review.
If you don't express profound regret for buying Duke Nukem Forever, then I have a low opinion of your gaming intelligence.
I'll accept that a little bit better.
But they already talked about possibly making a sequel.
Yeah, but I mean, it'll depend on the money they make.
I mean, I think that announcement said absolutely zero about it necessarily being a game. It was just using the name for other products.
Like, it's not like other stuff. Like, Aliens, that's something that Sega has the rights to. And, I mean, like, 2K, I don't know if 2K owns the rights to Borderlands, but, like, they're their publisher. And Ubisoft owns the rights to Brothers in Arms. Mm-hmm. Like, so those publishers decide if there's another Brothers in Arms game or another Aliens game, whereas Gearbox owns the IP to Duke Nukem Forever. So they need the money to do it. And that'll depend on the sales of the game.
Yep.
Got it. Stephanie, hi. How you doing over there?
Getting sleepy.
You're getting sleepy?
Yeah.
Get the energy level up. Let's go. Come on, UFC, do some knees. Come on.
I can't work out in cold muscles, man.
Oh, all right. Yeah, so for those of you that don't actually own a Kinect, all three of you that listen to the podcast, I would recommend probably not to get UFC.
Wait,
because
were you saying that a lot of people don't own Kinects or a lot of
people do? Are you saying most people do?
Oh, I was saying most people don't. But I actually kind of forgot what the statistic was.
We're not talking about Move.
No,
Move? No.
Yeah, I know. PlayStation Move didn't sell as well, right? Didn't Kinect? I thought Kinect actually did really well.
Kinect
now that I think about it,
sold incredibly well.
Sold very well.
Suckers.
Anyway, so if you are a Kinect owner, I don't know. I'm not really sold on UFC. Complete disclosure here. This is from me who has not finished the review process yet. I'm still in the midst of working on this game. But all I know is that as I have said to multiple people in the office, like all the trainers, they just repeat themselves so many times it becomes infuriating. And you do not want to be infuriating when you are pushing yourself physically, because that is the point where you're most, I think, prone to agitation, when you're dripping sweat and on the ground trying to do another push-up.
Or more motivated to, kick the crap out of that game.
If you had to give it a score right now, how many Affliction t-shirts out of 5 would you give it?
It would probably be a 1-2 Affliction t-shirt out of 5.
I like that scoring system.
So, Stephanie, are there any games you play that you loved but still wanted to spike your controller while playing? This is from Jeremy.
Yeah, actually, this is a really recent game, Outland.
Oh, we just talked about it.
Yeah, I really enjoy that game, but actually the difficulty, it seems really innocuous at first, because cool, 2D platformer, it's a contemporary one too. And it's actually really freaking hard, especially the fourth boss, and there are 5 bosses. I'm on the 4th one, and I've been stuck on that for a week now.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Okay, but you still recommend it though?
I still recommend it.
Okay. It's just for the hardest of the hardcore.
Yeah. Well, no. I think anyone can enjoy it. But you just got to have a certain mindset. You got to persevere.
Do you like pain?
You're masochistic. Love this game.
I say the same for Super Meat Boy, which I love.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
that Jeremy brought up, actually, Call of Duty 2 on Veteran and Super Meat Boy, which are now both just mentioned in the span of 5 minutes.
I think I actually have 200 out of 200 on Super Meat Boy. And the level, the warp zone where... based on I Want to Be the Guy, the old indie PC game that's just ridiculously difficult beyond things. Those levels were so hard and took me so many tries. I think that was the last thing I basically unlocked in that game.
Unlocked.
Exactly. I wanted to throw my controller, but I didn't.
Thank you, by the way, because so my girlfriend listens to these podcasts, and she actually loves them, Arthur. And she was saying she obviously started by listening to Beyond, and now she listens to Unlocked. And since we started the show, and every time someone incidentally says Unlocked, she says it out loud because she's from the Beyond school of thought, where you say Beyond when someone says it, but since we rarely ever say it afterwards except just now, she's always disappointed.
Maybe we should just say Bloop every time someone says Unlocked.
Bloop. Bloop.
We could do that. That actually might be fun. Peter, this one's for you.
Oh.
I want some Skyrim love from the Xbox podcast. Is there any?
Absolutely.
I think
okay.
so, yeah.
Sorry,
I'm not Peter.
Heard, from what we saw at E3.
Sorry, Peter.
it looks amazing. And I have this idea that I always enjoy games where you end up having a very personal experience with it. You're telling stories about what happened to you when you played it. That kind of thing's happened to me with the Grand Theft Auto games, Red Dead Redemption, just random things that aren't a given that happen to you specifically. And with the way Skyrim works, with the dragons, with their complete own personalities, do what they want whenever they want, it's going to lead to so many of those situations where these dragons are just going to swoop in at any given moment and just totally shake up your gameplay experience. And that alone looks fantastic. Awesome. And I know the demo they showed off was very paced and set to show off that kind of thing. Because you walk out of this one area and there's a giant walking through the plains and these mammoths, and the giant gets thrown over a mountain, and it's all very epic to see. But the idea that something like that can happen in any given situation is just insane, and I can't wait for that.
You fucking nerd.
It's true.
I was also excited.
But dragons make everything better, Arthur. Stop hating.
What are you, a metal cover?
Also, Peter, totally understood the Waiting for Guffman reference. Don't let those fools get you down.
I know. And
love another guy named Peter.
Ah, even better. Yeah. And whoever tweeted out the YouTube link, fantastic.
Yes.
Because that was exactly what I'm talking about.
Peter,
and
did you write in to unlock the IGN.com?
Thank you for giving me another plug. let's do a... actually, this is a quick fire question. Here we go. Ready? Each person has 30 seconds to answer.
That's a long.
That's a
long
lot
time.
Of waiting around.
That's
okay,
not
fine.
Quick.
That's not quick.
Every
fire.
Person has 10 seconds to answer.
That's faster.
My question is, this is from Daniel, is there a recurring game mechanic or game cliche which annoys you? Arthur.
Oh, God.
Instant death.
Stephanie.
Anything.
Damn.
1, 2, 3, 4. Pass.
Yes, pass.
Peter, 1,
On rails?
On rails.
Oh, that was a good one.
For me, save points, probably. Even though they remind me of old JRPGs, they're not efficient.
I was going to say.
Oh, you mean like little save diamonds or whatever?
Yes, yeah. Little save diamonds.
What?
I love save like, points. I mean,
so what's your
You'd rather have auto saves?
No, I would just rather have the ability to save at any time, and it basically suspends that session, and you can just come back to it.
Yeah.
Now, what would make sense to me, a point in which you can, like in a dungeon where that's the only place you can use a tent or like, you know, heal your party.
Yeah.
That's fine. Because
that's bullshit. You can save anywhere in Oblivion.
Yeah. I'm saying like that's it's cool like save any time so you can stop if like oh I don't know you need to actually have a life and walk away from your television, but you know I totally understand. I do love like the whole like when you like you're walking along through a dungeon and then you see like a little diamond and you click and you touch it and it's like wee wee wee.
It's quite a little relief.
And then you click the menu and it says save and you're like oh thank God I hope my power doesn't go out. Yeah, Stephanie, do you have one now?
No, I was going to say an autosave feature, especially in L.A. Noir, where in the next sequence, you're going to have to make a choice where you'll see the consequences like happen immediately, but you can't go back to it because it's already autosaved for you. So I really hated that feature.
Okay. But I don't think that's kind of what the game's feature. All about, though, yeah. Isn't it?
It
like,
is.
You shouldn't be able to be like, oh, wait, whoops, and go back.
Yeah.
It's all about like making decisions and that's having true. To live with what you've chosen.
But it was frustrating for me when I was writing the guide.
I can see that. Yeah, absolutely, because you need to see every outcome.
And oh my goodness, we're already I forgot we were yammering on at the beginning of the show before we actually started proper recording, so we're still good. Here's another quick side note for all of you. This is from Kyle writes, my mother, who is great and would never ever encourage such debauched behavior, once accidentally packed my high school lunch with a beer in lieu of a caffeine free coke.
Nice.
In her defense, the cans were similarly colored.
Caffeine free coke.
Oh, thank you, Kyle. I love this.
That'd be like Coke-free Coke in 1900.
All right. This question is from Jacob. What type?
Take all the fun out of your life, too?
What type of what food do you guys eat while you are playing games? I personally eat Tostitos and or Goldfish.
I don't eat while I'm playing games.
I hate getting grease all over my fingers. And
yeah, that's the worst.
Yep.
Peter?
I have a wicked sweet tooth, so I tend to eat gummy candies and the like, or drink a lot of coffee.
There you go.
But that's just any given point. So you could say, what do you usually do when you drive? What do you do when you get up in the morning? What do you do when you're doing anything?
What do you do anytime? Eat gummy candies. We need that review.
Any given Sunday. Can't talk.
Gummy candies.
Yep. That's how I roll.
You like wake up in the middle of the night, like go to the bathroom. You have like a small thing of gummy candies at the side of your bed.
It's a trough.
I will say that if it's the weekend when I allow myself to drink alcohol, there is absolutely nothing more divine than sitting down on the couch with a cold beer and playing a video game.
Especially after a long night of Shot Quest.
Especially after Shot Quest 2011, which, by the way, still going.
Well, yeah, I didn't think you could get them all in one night.
How many are there?
Well, at this specific bar, I mean, there's probably like 20 or 30 types of specialty shots.
Can you
that
only
they
do
do
each shot once, or did you double up? Or
no, the goal of Shot Quest 2011 is that my friend and I went to this bar in San Francisco, and they had a ridiculous list of specialty shots, including things like sex with an alligator, end of the world, like all these, you know, crazy things. And so we were just like, that looks amazing. We're going to go down that list and have every shot on that list. We started Shot Quest.
You drink like a college girl.
We started. Hold on, though. That was specific to the Shot Quest 2011. That's not how I usually drink. Usually I roll with Fernet. That's not what a college girl rolls with.
Or a whole lot of Jaeger.
Or a whole lot of Jaeger. That's what a college boy rolls with.
Jägermeister.
So what I usually – what did we do? We got through probably about six or seven that night.
Oh, that's God. Not the way it would have been said. What did you do?
Yeah. The most exciting part of Shot Quest 2011 night one is that that's the first time I had an on fire shot, which was like really was a cool experience.
You blew it out, right?
We of course blew them out.
Okay.
I almost burned the bar down, as I told you, right? When I moved the shot closer to myself while it was on fire, some of the like flaming liquor came out of the side of the glass. So it was it just looked like liquid fire was like licking the bar table.
And I that's actually what was happening.
That's what, okay. So that's what was happening.
Yeah, liquid fire was.
And it was very scary. And then my friend made a horrified noise, and I quickly blew it out, which by the way sent more liquid fire into the air. But all was well, and it was tasty.
So if you're gonna buy Ryan a shot sometime, try to let it be not on fire.
Right. Let it be not on fire. Let it just be Fernet. I drink Fernet, and I want to drink more.
Is it Fernet? It's not Fernet?
It's Fernet, at least in how us dumb United States citizens say. It is, I don't know, what's the Italian way you would say Fernet?
Is it Italian?
It's from Italy, yes, from Milan.
I don't know. It's a good question.
Okay, cool. Well, listeners, if you guys drink Fernet or you're proficient in Italian, I know we have a lot of European listeners, and you guys want to write into unlocked@ign.com, please tell me how to say Fernet properly.
I think that's a seventh plug.
I know.
Or sixth plug.
Amazing.
It's pretty good at working those in, though.
Yeah. I want to make – and then if anyone ever asks me, like, hey, where do I send the email to, bro? I'm going to dunk his head into a toilet. I don't know. Something extreme.
According to webtender.com, there's no reason to pronounce it as if it were French. So Fernet sounds right.
Mm. Well,
what? Yeah. Well, I mean, okay.
The Webtender.
Webtender. let's do one last question, because just speaking of our European listeners, give a little love to Florian, who writes from Germany, Frankfurt, Germany. Florian writes, I'm listening to your podcast since episode 11, and here's my question. Have you heard something about a Crackdown 3 in the making? I'm a huge fan of the first two games and would love to see more of it. How about you? Thank you for answering my question.
I haven't heard anything whatsoever, and I don't think Crackdown 2 did very well.
Unfortunately. Florian, I don't think you are. I think you might be alone in your love of Crackdown 2 and this little group here.
I thought it was super repetitive.
Okay. Yeah, I mean,
more so than the last one.
Took the same map basically, added a few more pits and more enemies, and called it a new game.
Okay, but maybe Florian shouldn't keep his hopes up for Crackdown 3 for now.
I think they'll make another Crackdown.
Okay. Oh, okay. Cool. So it's all. Their hope can still be kept alive.
I'd love to see it. I would. I mean, I think they probably learned a bit of a lesson with 2, knowing that people did really like number 1. And maybe 3 could just be fantastic.
Cool. I think that wraps up our questions. Anybody else got anything for today? Otherwise, we're good to go here. Good to roll on out.
Rolling on literally Dirt 3 DLC, which we all remembered looks very pretty. There's new tracks in Monte Carlo. I'm going to write something up about it as soon as we leave this room.
Awesome. And Dirt 3, you happen to be a pretty big fan of it.
Oh, it's great.
Because there's all sorts of cool mini games and shit that you can do that got me really excited about it.
Gorgeous.
Yeah, exactly. It looks really good. And the rally stages are so fun. And the new map, there's like 8 new tracks seem quite good thus far.
Cool.
I've really just gotten back into it. So.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Thank you all for joining me, guys. And for all you listeners at home or on the move, oh, wait, Stephanie has something. What's up?
She's raising her hand.
What's up, buddy?
It's not related to Xbox.
No, then no.
Go ahead. What is
it? It was something that bothered me for a little bit.
All right, I'm ready.
So I've had several people like talk to me about like my guide stuff, and they're like, oh yeah, I sympathize. They would say like, oh yeah, I sympathize with you. It's definitely a lot of hard work. Hopefully you'll get promoted to being an editor soon. And so, I mean, I appreciate your sympathies, but I wanted to clarify.
The guides people are not below.
Yes, that guides people guides editors are not below editors. It's just that we operate completely separately from the regular editorial pool. But that's not to say that we can't contribute to like reviews here and there, previews and features and whatnot. In fact, I have done a little bit of that myself.
Yeah.
Stop rolling your eyes at me, Arthur.
What are you talking about?
But that's all I wanted to say, because that bothered me a little bit.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's almost like talking down on the position, which people should not.
Well, it's definitely underappreciated. It's just like how, you know, people and engineer, I mean, no one ever thanks people and engineer for how well the site runs or doesn't run sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. I think that should be it. If you want to follow us on the Twitter space, which is pretty much a good place to get all of our lives in a nutshell, you can follow me at PwamCider, PwamCider. I also give away a lot of codes on there, so if you guys want free shit, I do try and pay back the listeners.
It makes me so happy that you haven't changed that yet.
I don't think random dude from Denmark is ever going to get back to me about getting his Twitter name. It's so bad. Oh, man.
Not Clements.
Yeah.
Or R. Clements.
It's just Clements. It's so perfect. I would so want
What's
that Twitter
wrong with
name.
Is R. Clements taken as well?
I haven't checked who
Could you do
R. Clements
with a Z? Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Just check R. Clements.
If you want to follow Arthur and all his madness, you can follow him at AEGIES. You can follow Peter at Pykemans, which is PEYKEMANS.
Yep.
And of course, Stephanie is Super Lee 7. Lee spelled L-E-E. Not as one of you suggested, L-E-I-J-G-H.
Yeah.
Super Lay.
Super Lay. Super Lay.
You're going to have to change your Twitter handle to your new nickname.
Yeah.
If the characters allow for it.
Probably not.
Supersonic Fly Megasaurus Awesome.
It's just going to take up like two lines of
really
your
hard
Twitter
to retweet.
I'd limit your
You can only reply to you with yes and no answers.
And then, of course, you can follow IGN at IGN. Now, we introduced a game last week, which is basically, for lack of a better term, a meta achievement where all of you listeners are more than welcome to be a... Oh, great, actually. We have a bunch of people that won 50 achievement points.
Nice.
This is a completely self-governing system. It's just for fun if you want to be a part of the Unlocked family. We will give you an assignment or something, an achievement, basically, to do. And then if you do it, you get points. You keep track of your own points, but maybe one day when we meet you, you can tell us how many points you have, and I'll give you a hug for it. Now, the first meta achievement was take a picture of yourself with your 360 and send it in, and you get 50 gamer score points.
Must be wearing
Which
clothes.
I thought was absurdly
yes,
high,
must
considering
be wearing clothes.
This Facebook era where you can just snap a picture on your phone and simply upload it.
I just, okay.
Well, anyway.
We're not capped at 1,000 here necessarily, you know?
So thank you to all who sent in a picture. If you sent me a picture, you have 50 points. You don't need to like wait for a certificate or something. Just keep track. You now have 50 points. Congrats.
Congrats.
Don't cheat, because cheating will not really help you with anything. No contests will be dependent on the points that you have.
Can I have a certificate?
You can have a back.
That was my shoulder.
I can't
deeper,
read you.
Deeper.
But I did promise our own Stephanie Lee that she could be the creator of the next meta achievement.
Oh.
So creator, Stephanie Lee, what is the meta achievement for this week?
Okay. So I consider myself quite an adventurous foodie. And this was inspired by thisiswhyyourefat.com.
Oh,
so
off to a good start.
For this week... do at your own risk, is to eat a Luther burger, which is basically a normal burger, and in place of the buns, there are two glazed donuts.
Oh my god!
Or one.
I've heard about this. Yes,
but
okay. So it's a burger with a donut for buns.
Yes,
and they can.
Donut.
Does it have to be a specific kind of burger? Can it just be a burger from anywhere?
Yeah, they can okay. make it themselves and then
excellent.
Take a picture of it.
Take
before and after picture.
Okay, before and after of the eating.
And you
or I would like to say that they can just take a picture of it partially eaten, like with
okay,
holding,
yeah.
them holding
right,
it. So
sure.
so they don't have to send multiple pictures.
Yeah,
I would prefer a time lapse series of photos.
That would
animated.
Be amazing.
Stephanie, yes. How many points will this earn them?
This will earn them. I want to.
I feel like this is 100.
Exactly.
Yeah, I was gonna say 50
there was a precedent
for this.
50 must
photo.
Have been so high, and now we're giving away 100
no,
points.
No, I was gonna say 50 for this.
This is a lot more work.
This is definitely
yeah,
a lot more.
Yeah, you gotta
plan
ahead.
This is definitely a lot more.
Well,
work.
Stephanie, it's up to you. What amount? 50.
50.
50 points.
Another 50.
Mm-hmm. All right, there you go. You can get another 50 points. You can be up to 100 if you eat some bomb ass burger.
Yep. I hear it's good.
Okay. Take a picture.
Yeah.
All right, cool, guys. Thank you all very much for joining me, and thank you at home and on the move for listening to Podcast Unlocked. We will be back next week when we will tell you the most efficient way to use a compound bow in extreme environmental conditions. My name is Ryan Clements, and that is all.
Bloop, bloop.
Bloop. So is it just him blowing air at you?
It's called an air multiplier.
Yes, that's what the Dyson fan is. It's an old man named Dyson.
He's like sealed in a
package.
That's
why it's so expensive. You have to pay for it by the hour.
And you got
to
clone him. Wait.
Oh, he's British.
British. He's a James Bond villain. He's not fucking German.
Anna Sheridan, New York Times best-selling author of supernatural horror, missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. Is the compass broken, or did I turn to the side?
Given the circumstances of her disappearance, someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil, so to speak.
Weak radio signal. 700 meters. Closing fast.
There's no place for ghost stories and close encounters in this investigation, or any other.
I need you to find me.
To save yourself.
What else would it be?
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.